Welcome to Hammer Down!
Dad!
The number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am your host, Tone Diggs. I will be joined by Pat McAfee himself when he comes back in. My man, Bubba Gumpino. You can follow him at Bubba Gumpino on Twitter and Instagram. He will deliver you all the trends, all the stats, everything you need to know. He will be dropping all those nukes on you. And also, we have former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line. Make sure you subscribe to the Daily Coach, the GM Shuffle Pod, writes for The Athletic, Michael Lombardi. How are you, Michael?
Hey, Mike. I'm good, thank you. How are you guys today, huh?
Good. I mean, we got fucking kicked in the teeth this weekend. Not all. Some of it was our fault. Some of it was our fault. Not all of it was our fault, though. Is there anything that, you know, maybe you just want to get off your chest to start the show?
I think, you know, I mean, I made five, ended up being five bad picks, but I think the only one that I would have do if I had to do over again, just watching the games, I would have should have taken Miami. I talked myself into the Chargers by line movement, you know, and thought that they would be able to break it. But I think other than that, I mean, look, the Saints game, 49er game, the Saints basically were ripe for a close game, and I didn't anticipate that the 49ers were going to give them two punts that they just misplay, you know?
Yep.
And then the Houston-Cleveland game, I think I handicapped that well. I think the Buffalo-Arizona game, I handicapped that well. And if you would have told me that Seattle was going to hold Los Angeles to 23 points, I think that's an easy win. So, you know, I mean, it's just the way football went. Sometimes you play the game, you don't win it, but that doesn't mean you played badly. You just got to reevaluate what you did.
No, we 1,000% handicapped the fucking Cleveland game the right way. We said that the Texans weren't going to be able to stop the run. Cleveland ran for over 200 yards. Each back had 100 yards. They just didn't.
No sense. You know, and I've listened to this bullshit about, well, he wanted to not score so they couldn't kick the ball off and who gets hurt, yada, yada, yada. Like, first of all, this is a little bit like the Kennedy assassination. Why didn't he shoot him coming up Elm instead of waiting for the turn, you know?
You're all in on it.
Why didn't he just lay down?
You mean at,
why
instead of
out of bounds? Why would he go
Because he's a good teammate, Lombardi. Okay, he's a good teammate. He's a good culture guy. He's the guy you want in your locker room.
I love Nick Chubb, but Patrick, explain to me what benefit he had by going out of bounds.
Well, it stops the clock, but you know that since there's such little time, you could just kneel it out anyways. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
But if he lays on the 1 yard line, you could do the same thing without stopping the clock. That clock runs.
Yeah, I know. It was very interesting. I guess Stefanski called no moss. You guys already talked about this.
No.
Stefanski called no moss, and Baker reminded everybody, like, hey, get a first down, but go down or whatever, you know? And this is the first actual football IQ move that has happened all season, it feels like. And then it's followed up immediately by Cliff Kingsbury, which, by the way, very smart move. The only way you lose that game is you kick the extra point, get it blocked, it gets taken the other way for 2 points, blah, blah, blah. But them kneeling, I mean, that's just two right to the sack yesterday with high football IQ moves.
And then Russell. I mean, look, you can't win MVP playing the way Russell did on Sunday.
Last 3 weeks, Mike.
Yeah, you can. I mean, he turned the ball over. He played un-Russell-like. If you would have told me, I never expected him to play like that.
He's fumbling snaps too, Mike. Like, it's things.
Man. Yeah. Hey, but that's sure. You just got to go back to it. You know, Mike Trout doesn't get a hit in some games. You got to go back to it and play. You got to do it again.
Oh, we got to ride it again Thursday, Mike.
And then last night, I mean, the Ravens running Wildcat in the rain, in the sleet, in the snow, whatever it was, with Mark Ingram, who can't even see out of that fucking visor, when you have Lamar Jackson, who is a natural Wildcat quarterback and gives the defense at least multiple looks. I mean, when it's only Mark Ingram back there, you know that only one thing can happen.
Hey, I have a question for you, Lombardi. How come it feels like on all those messed up snaps, the D-line breaks through faster than ever? Like, although Ingram dropped that, there was a guy running scot-free right down the middle. Like, he's swam the guard and was just scot-free anyway. So Mark Ingram probably is not picking that up anyways. To Diggs's point, there's no reason to have anybody run Wildcat when Lamar Jackson's your fucking offense or your quarterback. Yeah. But why is that just timing-wise?
I think it's the timing's messed up, and then the linemen think something's wrong, so they actually don't really play. They kind of stop. It looks like they freeze. You know, they don't know if the whistle blow. They kind of look like they all stop. I mean, it's peculiar. Look, the, you know, my son on Friday was telling me they went out there in New England on Friday in the pouring rain. I mean, and didn't give a shit. They went out there. And, you know, most of those teams, they want to be perfect Wednesday, Friday practices. No balls on the ground. That we complete all the passes. They didn't give a shit. They went out there. They played in the rain. And last night, they acted like they were enjoying it. They looked like an elephant in water.
What was your take on Cam Newton saying that Bill Belichick has like a Staples easy button or the Buffalo Wild Wings line or whatever, how he can predict how a game goes?
Here's what he does, which is just fucking incredible. And I think he said it better than I can say it. But I was in a meeting with Nick Saban. It's 1994. We're playing the Eagles at the Old Vet. And Nick Saban and I, it's kind of like, you know, I'm from this area, so it was a big deal for me to come home. We were 6-1 at the time, and I were 6-2, and so were the Eagles. And so this is a big game. And so we go in at this typical at the 7:30 coaching staff meeting that I think the NFL film should film constantly. It's one of the greatest staff meetings any football fan could ever be a part of. And at that meeting, Belichick typically tells you how the game is going to go. He will tell you how the game will go. And in that game, he starts telling us how we're going to dominate. The game will be over at halftime to make sure we keep the players up and at them. You know, don't let people lose focus in the third quarter, yada, yada. And Nick Saban and I look at each other and says, what is he talking about? This is going to be like one of the hardest games of the year. And naturally, you know, at halftime, the game was over. And, you know, it's just he does it every Wednesday, Pat. He stands in front of the team and he tells the team what it's going to take to win the game.
And do you think that's why whenever assistants leave, okay, it's not as easy to coach whenever you have a guy who tells you exactly how the game is going to go?
And not a lot of people can do what he just did. You know, remember what we said last week, you know, they're all criticizing him for not throwing the ball outside. You know, think about this. He's playing, you know, he's basically figured out how to win, not how to accumulate stats. He threw it 17 times the other night. Like, seriously, he's not concerned about what the – he's doing what's in the best – how he's playing how to win, not how his offense needs to go. And then his players now buy into it. And what do they have now? They have an identity. They understand who they are. They're going to come out and run the ball against you. You could – good luck trying to stop it if you can. They're going to throw it. They're not going to turn the ball over, you know. And so he's just – that's just who he is. And I think what Cam's saying is – he's never been a part of a head coach that's done that, because there's very few head coaches that can actually do – this is the way the game is going to go. This is how we got to play it.
Michael, is he ever not positive in those Wednesday meetings? So, like, say a few weeks ago when they get blown out by the San Francisco 49ers, is he – do you think he's positive, or he is realistic and is like, hey, there's a chance that they're going to run all over us?
No. I think what he is look, fellas, if we don't do A, B, C, and D, we're going to get our asses kicked. We're going to get our asses kicked, and it's not going to work, okay? So either we do it this way. And then what happens is usually with – like now he's fighting through a new bunch of players, right? So like in 08 when he had Matt Castle, they have to kind of learn how to win their own way without Brady there. Once they get through it, once they realize his preaches are accurate, they all buy in, which is what I think Cam's saying. And it's true. It's just – it's really one of the most unique things that I've been to. I could show you my OneNotes of all the meetings that I would go to as him in Cleveland and then in New England about how he would tell you the way the game's going to go. And then in the first quarter, he's trying to figure out if he's right about it, and typically he is, and then he adjusts accordingly.
I wish I was on a team that he was in. If he gives that speech on Wednesday and then the game unfolds exactly how it goes, on Sunday after a win, after the breakdown, hey, let's do it, I'm like, what the fuck? you just did the entire – that would be something that I would be trying to hype up as much as possible. That's not normal, by the way. I don't know. Now, granted, I was only at one place, but I had a couple different head coaches, and I've talked to other people at other places. I'm not sure that's a very normal thing to happen. Like, hey, this is going to happen.
It's not, Pat, and I think what happens is, like, Tom Brady misses it down in Tampa. You know, there's a and what he's doing is it's just not – he's not playing the way to win – just offensively or defensively, he's playing it collectively in a complementary fashion, you know. And I think that, like, when I look at the Eagles lack that terribly. They run the ball. They averaged 5.3 yards a carry yesterday against the Giants. and they come out of there and they can't, and they lose the game 27-17. And everybody wants to change quarterbacks when in reality that the Eagles have no identity on offense. They refuse to run the ball, even though it's the best thing they do during games. And yet they want to be a pass happy team. So they kind of have this, they don't know who they are. They don't have any direction.
And then Doug Peterson, I think he just fucking flips a coin whether he decides whether he's going to go for two or not. He goes for two the first time to make it a three-point game. Okay, cool. And then he goes for two the second time when a field goal or an extra point makes it a three-point game, and he doesn't get it, so it's a four-point game. I don't fucking understand that guy.
I don't either. I mean, look, that we watched the game Sunday night, and Belichick was up 19-10, and he went for the one. He didn't go for two at that point. You know, I mean, and he had missed an extra point earlier in the day. You know, and you could say, well, he could have gotten beat 24-23. Yeah, he probably could have, but I don't think he was anticipating not scoring in the fourth either. So, I mean, look, I can't predict his fourth down theory. Here's what I will say. He said after the game, we have to stay out of third and long. Well, here's what I don't think people remember. In 2017, the Eagles were in the top seven teams in having the most third and longs of any NFL offense in football. The top seven. But Frank Wright was the third down play caller, and they became proficient at third down. They were in a ton of third and sevens. They just executed way better than they are right now.
Before we go any farther, because I think this weekend for all of bettors and stuff like that may have happened because of bad gambling juju and the gambling gods looking down on us and looking at us sideways a little bit. So I think I need to restore everything in the galaxy and give Pat the pinky ring back that he has earned back.
Did I earn it?
You earned it back.
Oh, okay.
That you did earn back.
Thank you. This is an honor. This is an absolute honor. Oh, we're back.
The lights just flickered in here when that happened.
We are back, boys.
On the other side of the Patriots game, are we worried? Or not we, because I'm not worried.
I did earn it.
Yeah, you did.
That fucking Arizona thing. I mean, I had a couple games yesterday that were heartbreakers, man.
Look, this is just the way it's going to go sometimes. You just can't predict it. And that's guys in the Circa contest. There were guys 0-5, 1-4 in there. Mm-hmm. It's just sometimes who could have predicted? Like, you texted me during the Saints 49er game. I mean, who could have predicted that on two punts, the 49ers wouldn't be able to have smoothless transition from defense to offense?
Can't have it, dude. Can't have it.
Absolutely cannot have it. But the Ravens,
it's an honor to have this ring back.
It's an honor for all of us to have it back.
Yeah, for sure. For everybody to earn, which, by the way, could be anybody's next week. I'm just saying, it's an honor to have this thing back.
I know the weather wasn't great and stuff, but the Ravens, you concerned about their offense at all?
Well, I think what you saw last night was when it got to a drop back game, they put Fluker on the bench. Those tackles can't pass for them.
They almost look disinterested. So
even the Patriots are not a great pass rushing team, but they can't pass for them. I mean, they went after them left and right. So, yeah, you got to be concerned. If it's a drop back pass game, which I didn't think New England could make it a drop back pass game, especially how they just run the football. But once, you know, if Cam hits the ball, if Cam hits Jacoby Myers in the end zone, he's wide open, he throws it in the dirt, and that's a 27-10 game instead of a 23-10 game. That's when you know Baltimore has no chance to win a game. They're not coming back 17 down. They can't pass protect well enough to run an offense to where the quarterback's going to be comfortable in the pocket. They're a play action pass offense.
Is it time to start worrying a little bit about Lamar Jackson, Mike?
I think it's time to start worrying about their whole offense in general. I mean, look, it's not all on him. I think they have got to get. They're the team that has to play a certain style, and if they don't play their style, that's a problem.
By the way,
you know, they went against a team that kind of just beat them at their own game, really, to be honest with you.
You know what's interesting? I passed out during that game last night. I watched it back this morning while I was doing my Stairmaster before trying to go get a COVID test, which took me an hour and 40 fucking minutes. 250 phone calls to the place.
Shout out you for working out, and shout out you for knowing it takes all of us.
It does take all of us. By the way, I have to get tested because of WWE stuff. I get tested Sunday, Monday, get results back Tuesday, Wednesday. If they're both negative, I go down to Orlando and do my thing on Wednesday nights and hopefully not get my ass kicked. But with Lamar Jackson last week, talking on Rich Eisen show about how the other people know what we're going to do, okay? I assumed immediately that Lamar Jackson – didn't mean for that statement to be like a little bit of a stir of the pot, which it was, by the way, by the media. The media was like, oh, here we go. Is there problems there? I assumed he was going to come out and dominate, right? So when I fell asleep last night, it wasn't happening early. I was like, he probably picked up. I wonder if there are some interesting little issues going on in Baltimore revolving everybody, you know? Like, I wonder if there is a little bit of a discontentment happening right now in Baltimore, because it feels like a much different vibe over there than we've seen last year, obviously.
Not a lot of big trust going on this year. Not a lot of
swag. That's what I'm saying. Their swag is gone.
Is that Yonda?
I think success is the great martini to everything. And I think that whenever you have success like they had last year, everybody has a different agenda. You know, Greg Roman wants to be a college head coach. You know, this guy wants to be an offensive coordinator or this. You know, all of a sudden people's personal agenda get in the way. So you start calling plays that are more reflective of what can highlight what you do instead of going back to just being. That's why, to me, Arthur Smith, he is who he is, right? I mean, he just kind of runs the same thing. He's really creative in what he does. Those are the guys that and doesn't want the spotlight.
Who?
I think success is really is success for teams is harder than losing.
Who's that guy? Arthur Smith?
From Tennessee.
Okay, got it. All right, yeah. Never hear about him, by the way. Never hear
about him. Nope. And he'll be one of the guys up for head coaching jobs. Really, I mean, now they haven't played great offensively in the last couple of weeks because they lose their left tackle. Here's the thing, I think another team, the Rams yesterday, they lose Whitworth in that game. Horrible injury, right? Whitworth, what a great pro. That's really going to mess, as we look forward to the Lions next week, that's going to mess up the betting lines because Whitworth losing any offensive lineman for the Rams can really prove problematic.
Well, and also, you look, Marshall Yonda out, whole new Baltimore Ravens. Taylor Lewan gets hurt, whole new Tennessee Titans. Now with Whitworth, Jay Glazer said he got a text that said, hey, much more positive or optimistic than originally thought. I think that information is probably going to come out later tonight or tomorrow on Andrew Whitworth, but that is real. You lose a real guy at the offensive line, it affects everybody on the line, not just them, and also in the locker room, the whole thing. Andrew Whitworth has been a staple over there.
Well, and then last night, Nick Boyle gets a season-ending injury. He's the quote-unquote best blocking tight end in the NFL for the Ravens, so that's going to be tough for them going forward. Speaking of injuries, Michael, what do you think about Jameis filling in for Drew if he has to be out for an extended period of time with the broken ribs and collapsed lung?
I think it's a great, great, great opportunity for Jameis, and he's got a great play caller and a great coach and a great play designer. I mean, it's pretty an easy job to just throw the ball to Kamara on short passes and let him do the work, throw it to Michael Thomas. I mean, let those guys do the work and don't make a dumb play. Don't try to be bigger than yourself, you know. Just make a play, and I think that he'll highlight his game. And I think if I'm Jameis, I'm like, look, Jameis, what you have to prove to people is don't turn this ball over. Protect the ball and let these other guys do the heavy lifting.
All right. I think he's going to do well.
So Jameis, I do too.
So do I.
I think Jameis is going to do well because this past week, obviously, offense is built completely around Drew Brees. And I do believe backups don't get a lot of reps down there in anything. Jameis gets a week here, being the starter. Now, it will lead to the conversation about, if you think this guy's the future Steve Young and your future quarterback, why not at least get a little bit of a sample of him as starting quarterback in team meetings and offensive meetings and for an entire week like you didn't do last year whenever Teddy came in with Taysom Hill. But I think Jameis will do well. I honestly do. Why won't they play Taysom? I was told by Schefter, and I would assume Schefter has some inside information to say what he said. He said that they like what Taysom does outside of just if he was to play quarterback too much to jeopardize all that, whether it's special teams or any of the gadget plays or anything like that. They don't want to change that up. But if he's your quarterback of the future, wouldn't it be nice to see if the guy could be the guy or not?
I mean, I think in theory what they said is really accurate, but didn't they just pay him $18 million or $15 million?
Yeah,
I mean,
16.
That's a heavy price to pay for a jack of all trades.
It really is. It really
is. And you could get a chance to see if he's going to be the guy because you only get a one.
I'm with you, Pat. I would play him. I'd see what we have. I mean, look, to me, if you think he's the quarterback of the future, then go with it. I mean, I like to see Jameis play because I think Jameis is going to get – I mean, look, Jameis could be in Indianapolis next year. Jameis could be in New England next year. Jameis could be – there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks next year. He could be in Denver.
I agree. I want to see Jameis play well, but just if I'm a Saints fan and I've been told that this guy is our guy, I'm like, well, let me see it. Now, I think Jameis is going to do well. This is not that. I'm very confused by the entire thinking of it all with the Taysom thing.
Michael, I just heard you bring up Denver after four interceptions yesterday. Are you out on Drew Lock?
I'm so out on Drew Lock. It ain't even funny. I mean, you know, that to me was the statement game for Drew Lock. You couldn't get a better situation for Drew Lock. He's got really good skill players around him. The Raiders pass rush isn't, I mean, it's not devastating. You should be able to figure out what they're doing. You should have a lot of easy throws. I mean, if you're John Elway, Vic Fangio came out today and said he's our guy. Well, that's because he's John Elway's guy. And Vic, you're going to lose your job because of it. I mean, it's bad. I mean, I didn't think he was very good. Maybe it's too early, but I thought he was bad.
Fangio's got to be done after this year, right?
You would think so. I mean, look, you got to be honest with yourself. I know he's a Hall of Fame player. I know he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But what he's done in terms of building that franchise in Denver is really not very good.
Couple of Super Bowls. You watch your mouth, dude.
Your boy, the guy that you played with, I think has a lot of responsibility.
No.
Yeah, Taysom Hill has got a – He is. I just want to go over this. This is what I'm not sure of. I agree with your point, Pat. I mean, he's basically got an $11.5 million contract for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Next year, his base goes up to $10 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. 16 guaranteed. It makes no sense. I'm like, I understand all the gadgets and everything. And I think Jameis, I have to say it again because I don't want any. I think Jameis is going to do well. All right. I like Jameis. He also got his eyeballs fixed, so he'll be able to see who he's throwing the fucking ball to. But if I'm a Saints fan, my first question is, how do we know this guy's the guy going forward unless we can get a couple week run? I assume it's going to be a couple weeks for Drew Brees, right?
Based on what Ed Warner reported today, he's got collapsed lung. He's got broken ribs on both sides. I mean, I can't imagine that comes back very quickly.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, who knows what the Narcan shots that you could do potentially, but the collapse, I assume it's going to be a few weeks, which might end up being good for Drew Brees long term to get the break on the arm, actually, like last year with the 5 weeks thing that happened with Teddy Bridgewater. But you could get a chance here to see this guy lead your team right now. Like, you get a chance to see if he's a guy or not. Or Sean Payton could just be trolling everybody and he doesn't think he's the guy. Who knows? Yep. It's just very interesting. They're going to win, though, because Sean Payton's a smart guy, but. It's very smart interesting. Guy. Yeah, I like
it. Does anyone have anything else they need to get off their chest from this weekend before we move forward?
Cliff Kingsbury made the right move to not kick the extra point, okay, by kneeling down. And we're a big high football IQ show here, okay? We like right decisions being made. But how come Cliff Kingsbury couldn't just be like all the stooges of the past 10 fucking weeks and make a bad football IQ decision and send Zane Gonzalez out there to kick the extra point to go up 3 and let us all win? That is something I would like to get off my chest one final time. I'm done with it. Let's move on. You, Gumpy, anything?
Can I ask this question real quick before? I see it in college a little bit, but since we can convert the two-point play, how many times has somebody blocked an extra point and scored a touchdown?
It's rare.
It's got to be zero.
It's rare. It is rare.
I mean, so why not just kick the fucking thing?
Hey, I asked me too, Lombardi.
It's about as rare as someone scoring two touchdowns in 40 seconds, too, or whatever.
Somebody texted me. Somebody direct messaged me today saying the reason that Nick Chubb did the right thing is because you don't want to get anybody injured on the next. Are you kidding me? Like, who gets injured on an extra point? Like, seriously. I mean, Rob Gronkowski broke his wrist on an extra point. I'll give you that because he stuck his arm out there and he shouldn't have done that. But seriously, there's some things that are happening on the football field that make no sense under the disguise of analytics.
I will ask one Homer question before we move on. Michael, can the Steelers win in the playoffs continuously running the ball under 50 yards?
Hey, them dogs are barking.
Shout out, Bella.
Shout out to them dogs barking.
Probably the mailman coming. Anyway, go ahead.
Can the Steelers win in the playoffs continuously running under 50 yards, having 50 yards rushing per game?
You know, I think that because they have so many controlled passes that a lot of those passes are really runs, mm-hmm. too. I think you got to take that into account. Some of that stuff they do on the outside, the perimeter. I just think Connor, that big run he had up the middle, you just didn't see explosiveness in his play. to me.
Michael, he's running in fucking quicksand.
No, no, you got to remember that Diggs hates James Conner.
No, no,
it was because Juju, of on the field. Now it's on the Conner. Field, he's
what's your deal, dude?
I mean, he continuously bounces outside instead of reading a block and cutting up. It drives me insane.
9-0
That's why I like it.
What's this guy's problem, dude?
It's like my cousin Vince, who's a Packer fan. The minute the ball gets kicked off, he starts texting me complaining about it. I said, Vince, you're not playing fucking Navy this week. It's not Tulane. You know, you're playing a good team. You're playing a team. They're all pros out there. Like, you're not going to dominate every game, you know? People don't get that about the NFL.
If you were to watch a game with me, not a single positive thing comes out of my mouth from kickoff until we kneel the ball down at the end.
I know, but before we got on our show live, he said he's guaranteeing a Steelers Super Bowl.
That's not what I would never do that. You know I would never jinx them like that.
I've been used to losing for so long. The Dolphins go up a point, I'm grinning like the butcher's dog.
Hey, Tua's good, by the way. This is 2 weeks in a row. This is 2 weeks in a row that I've bet against Tua, and it's been wrong. Tua's very good.
Tua played really good yesterday. He was outstanding. I agree with you. I mean, somebody said to me, they listened to me on my podcast, and the way I described how the game was going to go, and they felt like I was talking myself into the Chargers, and they bet Miami. I think that's right. I think he played really good. And I think Miami, look, I think they've done a great job in every facet of the game. They've gotten better every single week in the last 6 weeks.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean.
Poor guy.
No, I don't think so.
Pat's saying he should have known.
If Tua looked like this in practice, I mean.
Yeah, he should have known it was coming, right.
Yeah, that's
what, he would say to you, look, they're doing everything to make the kid look successful. I mean, he threw an interception right through 44 Sanders.
No, that's an absolute seed, Mike. Absolute seed.
All right, Monday Night Football tonight. We got Vikings at Bears. It's still 3.5. I'm seeing it. Bears are home puppies.
Jesus.
It hasn't gone to 4 yet. There's a sense it might go to 4.
What's the total?
85% confidence it's going to 4.
Let me see. So at FanDuel, it's 3.5. And I'm seeing no 4s on the board. I'm actually seeing some 3s on the board. It's 3s and 3.5 at this.
4s either.
Total 44.
Total 44. That's where we're at right now. Let me check public betting here. 54% of the bets. Oh, check that. Wrong game. Wrong week. I'll update that in a second. I was looking. Okay.
53-49.
There it is. 53% of the bets are on the Vikings. 49% of the bets or money is on the Vikings. So, but the line has moved from so it opened as Bears -2, and now it's Bears +3.5. Pat, who do you want to hear from first?
Lombardi.
I think 2 weeks ago this team played the New Orleans Saints as good as you could play them. They lost overtime 26-23. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to run the ball on the Bears. I think the Bears run defense, especially playing at home. Minnesota doesn't play well down there. I think the field, Kirk Cousins on Monday night is another problem, national TV. I think the Bears, I'll take the 3.5 points in the home dog. I like that. I like that play. I think the Bears will play better. If you watch the Vikings defense against the Lions moved the ball fairly well on them. They just could not convert a third and short. They were settling for field goals in the red zone. I think the Bears will play one of their better games tonight. I like the Bears to win.
Guppy.
Goddamn, 44.
I got to run here. I'm going to go on.
Oh, really? Here we go.
And it's not. It's not. And I'm going to make a call at the end of it because I'm not sure yet.
Oh, you didn't set these up to
pitch one narrative? No, I'm not painting any sort of picture here. I'm going to give you everything.
You're not tilting your kilt.
Broad spectrum, my friend.
Give us everything. Give us everything.
Vikings, 4-1 against the spread versus teams with a winning record last 5. 5-2 against the spread last 7 as a road favorite. 5-2 against the spread last 7 versus NFC North. 5-2 against the spread last 7 road games.
Boom.
Bears, 4-1 against the spread last 5 Monday games.
Oh, man.
13-4-1 against the spread last 18 as a home dog.
Boom.
10-4 against the spread last 14 versus NFC North.
Boom.
Vikings, 3-14 against the spread last 17 in Chicago.
Oh, fuck.
Home team, 25-10 last 35 meetings against the spread.
Oh, Jesus.
Dog, 5-1 against the spread last 6 meetings. Bears home games had a league low combined score of 37.
Oh.
12 of the last 15 games in Chicago have gone under. Bears and Vikings both ranked top 6 in third down defense at opponent red zone touchdown scoring percentage. Kirk Cousins in three games against the Bears since joining the Vikings, 0-3 with a total of 36 points scored. Dalvin Cook, 14 carries for 35 yards last time against the Bears. Chicago averaging 16.7 points per game last three games. Bears have won four straight against the Vikings.
Jesus.
Cousins 0-9 on Monday night, failing to cover by an average of 9.5 points per game. Give me the Bears and the points, wow. And give me the under.
Wow. Boom, 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 boom.
So who did you just say?
Bears and the under.
The under, huh?
That's what I think I'm going with.
Really?
I think I'll listen to your under pitch.
I don't have one for this game. The Vikings are an over team in my mind. So No, it'll go under because I didn't take it for sure. My numbers say to take the Vikings.
Golly, dude.
But I do not like to go against a home puppy. I do not like to do that. And also the numbers may be skewed a little bit because the Vikings, the defenses that they've faced the last five were the Houston Texans. Not a very good defense. The Seattle Seahawks, not a good defense. The Atlanta Falcons, not a good defense. Green Bay Packers, not a good defense. And the Detroit Lions, not a good defense. And then the Bears have played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, pretty good defense. The Rams, a good defense. The Saints, good defense. And then Tennessee, which the defense seems to be playing slightly better. And then Carolina.
Matt Nagy's head out of his fucking play calling sheet tonight as well. He'll actually watch the game.
We know Kirk Cousins does not do well when he has pressure in his face. I believe the Bears can do that tonight, so I'm going to take the Bears plus the 3.5 at home.
Shit.
And it agrees with Michael.
That's smart.
That helps too sometimes.
You took who?
Bears in the under.
And you took the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
And he took the Bears?
Yeah.
It was a terrible weekend for all of us, right?
Yeah, it was a terrible weekend for all of us.
I got the Vikings. that's what I'm going to do.
It was.
And I picked the Vikings on Friday, so it feels good to stick with it. I don't like the pick at all, so if you're watching.
No, neither do
I. Does not mean I like it at all. I'm just doing it strictly because his stats mean nothing. Paizan had some good takes, but I don't think he's even sold on it. Diggs is
No, I'm sold on this one. I am. I think that stopping the run, especially with a history of stopping the run, they can do that. They'll stop this run up front. And this is the Bears season here. The Bears can't lose this.
True.
They can't. I mean, and they've heard how dog shit they are for the last 2 weeks. I mean, they play the Saints as well as you can play them on that home field.
Give me the Bears. I want the Bears.
And they beat the Bucks on home field.
I want the Bears. I'll take the Bears. I changed my pick from Friday and just moments ago. I'm taking the Bears plus 3.5. If it goes to 4, are we all taking the plus 4? How do we agree to that?
We're all over the 4.
Yeah, if it goes to 4,
we'll take as many points as they want to give us until we win.
Okay, so at what point do we cut it off, though, for the
kickoff?
In kickoff.
Unless it goes below 3.5.
So 3.5.
We don't want anything below 3.5. Like, we just got screwed on the Brownies and the Cardinals.
Okay, so whatever it gets to,
3.5 or higher.
Up before kickoff, we're taking.
Yeah.
Anything below 3.5, we have a little bit of a.
Yeah, we got
what's that called on eBay whenever something gets hit?
It's like the
lowest minimum price.
Reserve, I think.
The reserve. Attaboy Jay. The reserve on this pick is 3.5. And then if it goes up, we'll take it. Attaboy Jay. Shout out to Jay.
Shout out, Jay.
You see, that's EJ back there, dude. King of eBay, bro. Jay's buying shit. Good show. So we're all on the Bears tonight. Let's get a win, boys.
Let's get a win.
Let's do it. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Michael. Mike. See ya.
See ya, Paizan.
All right, we're on the Bears.
Bro, it's going to fucking be like, Bears. Isn't it? We're all on them?
The Bears are a bad football team.
So are the Vikings,
No. The Vikings are a hot football team. This kind of goes against everything that I want to. Like Connor mentioned earlier, Thielen came on the show. Next game, 2 touchdowns.
Irv Smith being out is huge for the Vikings, by the way.
Dalvin Cook comes on the show, 2 touchdowns next week.
I do have a same game parlay.
Justin Jefferson just came on the show, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he did. That's not good.
I agree. It's not good at all. Yeah.
Same game parlay. I got the Bears plus 3.5. Alexander Mattison under 25.5 rushing yards. Anthony Miller under 37.5 receiving yards. Jimmy Graham under 33.5 receiving yards. And Kyle Rudolph under 28.5 receiving yards.
Hey, your running back under is pretty good.
2 weeks in a row, man.
Yeah, pretty fun little
game. Pretty simple, too. You just look at the stats, and if the running team, if the offensive rush is worse than the is worse than the defensive rushing defense, you just take the under for that running back.
Oh, all and right. that's what you're up early hunting for.
Yeah.
Is those winners.
Yeah, we are up
Tony loves hunting early.
By the way, that should be a shirt, isn't it?
That's I thought about that this weekend.
That's like kind of your thing.
Oh, speaking of shirts, Mitt, do you have that?
No. But I did not put it on. I did not get it onto Zito's computer. Or
the merch is officially on the store.
Oh, really?
The Hammered Down merch as of this morning is on the store.
Good for us.
It's on the store.
Good for Hammered Down, a little show we're making here.
Got the Nukes and Winners. I forget the other two.
Yeah.
It'll be on the store.
It's fucking merch, dude. It's fucking merch.
Hey, good luck tonight. We got Bears plus 3.5 and some unders.
No, just one me.
Under. One under.
I'm not going under. I can't live that life.
The Bears could score with a new OC or the OC calling the shots.
And Dalvin Cook could potentially hit a couple holes out there. Could. Or Justin Jefferson because they're loading the box to stop good. Dalvin Cook or Adam Thielen. Oh, man. I'm going to be bummed out, I think.
No weather in Chicago tonight, by the way. It's supposed to be a nice little night.
It's getting chilly, ain't it?
It is getting a little chilly, ain't it?
Yeah, it is getting a little chill.
It's a cold world.
Bundle up, dude.
Hammer!
Dime!